All right, brother. Brother Zealous, you were in the street flying gospel signs and you were thinking about adversity?
Yeah, I was thinking about adversity today just as a general, not in a particular sense, just as a general thing that as saints, we meet with persecution, tribulations, trials, all of this stuff, but it could probably all be summed up in one word as adversity. Things that are contrary to us, it could be the flesh, it could be outward forces, it could be spiritual, it could be fleshly, it could be whatever it is. It's things that are fighting against us while we push through them in the narrow road and how we have to overcome. And I just had like a couple thoughts on it, like that adversity is something we have to overcome.
Hey, hold on a second. I looked up an Old Testament scripture verse. So the Old Testament scripture verse says adversity. It says distress, trouble, a vexer. In this context, it says a rival wife. It says tightness. So it's like, yeah, trouble, anguish, affliction. I just wanted to read that.
Yeah, it could be anything. And just that a lot of people have this set that when they run into adversity, they think, I don't know, it's a kind of naive mindset that when you're following Jesus and you run into actual adversity, things that are completely fighting against you, then they kind of draw back almost, whereas we have to press in and overcome. And I just had like a couple scriptures on it that I was thinking about. I haven't gone really deep in it. I was just thinking about it today, see what comes up here. Proverbs 24, verse 10, I believe. I'm just quoting from memory here. I looked it up today. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So if we're supposed to be greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we have the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit and faith, if we faint and basically stop in the day of adversity, our strength is small. I mean, Jesus would probably rebuke us for having little faith. And then Hebrews 13 was another one I was looking at today, which also tells us, Hebrews 13 verse 3, I found it here. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So I was thinking that adversity is something that it affects one person, but if it affects one person in the body, like Corinthians tells us, what affects the members of the body affects the rest of the body. So if somebody is going through adversity, we're supposed to help them so that they don't faint and lift up the feeble hands and the weak hands and all of that and encourage and press one another on. It's a couple of thoughts on it. What do you guys think?
I'm just looking at that word adversity in Hebrews 13:3. It means maltreat, torment, to treat ill, oppress, plague. Pretty severe stuff.
Yeah.
I was looking at that word faint, and that if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. It says it could also mean disheartened, and like to relax, sink down, let drop. So if you let drop in the day of adversity, and then I looked at that word strength, and it's like firm, vigor, hardness. It also means a large lizard, which is kind of interesting. But so the strength, and I was just thinking about this as well. I wonder if it's the Spirit working through all of us. I had put that little thing in the edification forum about brick making and how the Lord puts us through not only the purifying process of getting all of this stuff out, purifying us, but also the hardening process of turning the clay that he's formed into a hard material, a brick, and it binds the clay material together. But in order to do that, you have to put it through the fire. So you put it through the fire, and then it loses its moldability, and it's firm, it's hard, and then it's refined. So I think that goes along with it as well. It's like adversity. Well, mankind always looks at it like, oh man, adversity, it's so tough, maybe in the moment and whatnot. The Lord is using it to harden us up. Like, if we endure it and we're patient through it, it hardens us up. We can see maybe when that thing arises, or even if another brother or sister is struggling with the same thing in the future, we can help them get through it and whatnot. So I was thinking about that as well.
Amen. What I would offer about talking about adversity is, you talked about fainting not. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When I was a pagan, I used to love nature videos and stuff. You ever see lions fight? They're not weak. They are fierce. And they take down game and they kill it, rip it to pieces, and they fight each other and they fight other lion prides. So I think about the righteous being as bold as a lion. That means you're going to have strength. You're going to be fierce. You're going to endure on. You're going to take dominion. You're going to be powerful. And I'm also thinking of Revelation 21:8, one of my favorite verses, because we're going through, starting through the book of Revelation. I've been reading a lot of the book of Revelation. Look up this word 21:8. But the fearful, look up the word fearful. It means faithless and the timid. Timid. So when I think of adversity and then I think of being timid, the two don't really go together, do they?
No, you can't draw back in adversity. You have to press on, and the timid always want to draw back.
Right. You can't be timid about the things that God's putting us through, and as Brother Kua said, so like gold and silver going through fire to be tried and burn the dross off, like a piece of steel going through fire to be tempered, like clay going through the fire to be hardened, to be a vessel of good use. We have to be willing to go through all these trials and adversity, and our master told us that we were going to have adversity. Why would we not believe him?
He talked. I have just one thought to throw on that real quick.
Go ahead.
When clay is hardened, and if you think about it, can like a clay pot hold any water if it's not first hardened? So I was thinking about like living water. Like, in order for the Lord to use us as a vessel, he has to purify us, and we have to be made that new vessel, but we also have to be hardened so we can hold more water, so we're waterproof, I guess.
Amen. You know. Amen, yeah. It's kind of like pouring new wine in old wineskin type of thing.
Yeah.
John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We probably could say it's pretty close to adversity. Let's look up what tribulation is. Pressure, anguish, oppression, affliction, distress. Yeah, it's almost the same thing as adversity. And he told us that we will have much of it in this life. But we are to what? Rejoice, because be of good cheer, he's overcome the world. That's how we can overcome adversity, knowing Christ has overcome our sins for us, or our forgiveness of sins for us. He's overcome the enemy for us. He's overcome death for us. And he went away to prepare to come back and get us one day. That's how we can overcome adversity. And he sent the Spirit. Wow. And he gives us the Word. What more could he do for us?
Yeah, well, we also have an example of it. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So Paul was basically talking about having a great door, and that word effectual, King James word here, it's an active operation. So God basically opened up somewhere where he could, like, it's basically an open door, like, we would call it now probably having a lot of God appointments, a lot of probably seekers in it. He's very active there, and there are many adversaries. So Paul was in the midst of having a great blessing in his ministry, was faced with much adversity. He never drew back or fell back. I guess that was my biggest point with adversity, is that no matter what it is, to press in, which is kind of contrary to everything our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to draw back, but Hebrews tell us, now if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. we have to press in through adversity to push through it to overcome it, knowing that we will have it.
Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That word press means to make a run, to flee, to put to flight, to drive away, to run swiftly in order to catch, to press on, to run a race, to pursue, to persecute, to seek after eagerly, earnestly, endeavor to acquire. I like that. So much for we don't have nothing to do. Yeah, we do have to do. We have to press in.
Yeah, there's another word for it. It's called overcoming.
Yep. That's also in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Here's another idea to throw in there as well. Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you look at the word narrow, it also can mean to press hard upon a compressed way, narrow, straightened, crowded. So you have to press into eternal life. It's not just like, oh, I'm just going to walk my 80 years of life and I'm just going to go to heaven, just walking my life. You got to press in. You got to fight to get in. So
yeah, it's a race. You got to be in it. You got to be running it every day. If you're not, you're not even in the competition. You're not even in the running.
Oh yeah, I got a verse for that one. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the world would be an adversary, wouldn't it?
The what would be an adversary?
The world.
The world, yeah, world, yeah, gotcha. Revelation.
Right, so we overcome. If we're born of God, we overcome. Sorry, what?
Yeah, Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's a pretty awesome promise right there.
Amen.
So, and, adversity, what is it? Persecution? That would be one. What's other forms of adversity that we saints have to face?
Our flesh.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Getting discouraged, or Satan attacking you and you go into maybe some darkness, or you lose sight of the goal. That would be another one. What's another one?
It could be hindrances that come up that you have to overcome, like being flexible, especially like van life teaches you that, being flexible in all situations, and then something comes along that you didn't account for, and it makes everything difficult, and it's something that, again, and everything that comes up that's difficult.
Yeah, so overcoming...
Overcoming anything that's difficult.
Yeah, overcoming daily situations. How about what you kind of went through? Health issues.
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be anything that makes it difficult. Let's say your house breaks down, you're stranded in the middle of nowhere. Let's say, yeah, you get sick. Let's say you get in an accident. Let's say, like, it could be anything that comes up that's contrary, and that are you going to overcome your adversity, or whatever this is, and remain in the spirit and use it for God's glory, or you're going to yield to it and basically probably ruin an opportunity to share the gospel and have to repent of it.
Here, and let's talk about this. Ready? Overcoming adversity doesn't even mean that you even change the situation, does it? Per se, not always.
Very rarely does it actually involve changing the situation. It usually means riding it out and overcoming it within you.
Yeah. I would say there's a lot of adversity that, okay, when you were on your way here, the back end drive unit on your van started to leak. That was an adversity. You overcame it, but you got it fixed. So you got it fixed. So that one was fixable. The health issue somebody has, they can ride it out, take some vitamin C, whatever, rest, and they can put that behind them, they can overcome it. I think a lot of them can be overcome and put out of the way. We, like, put them out of the way. But there's some that we cannot put out of the way, and that we have to just strictly overcome even while they're still there. I'm thinking of, like, the enemy, Satan, We can't get rid of him completely. Our flesh, it's still there. We got to put it down, but it keeps coming back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then how about like other people that claim Christ? Like we've recently had discouragement with people that claim Christ and either turn away, or people that say they want Christ, but then they don't really. That can be really I was talking to Brother Cool about that. That can be really discouraging to your spirit, can't it?
Yeah, if you let it, I guess it can. Yeah, it can definitely get to you.
Yeah, and here's why. Because, and I don't know how you guys are, but I never think about this stuff for myself. Meaning, let's see, how do I say this without being pretty crash about it? I've always been a pretty good loner, and I can pretty much go on my own, and I don't have any problem with that. So I've never had much need or want of people. Now, when I came to Christ, I got a love for people. So I love my neighbor, and I love my brothers and sisters. But I've always been pretty much a loner. When I think of people coming to Christ, I never think of, oh, great, I have another brother. Here's what I always think of. First thing I think of is God's glory. Wow, God's going to be glorified more. These people are going to serve him, another person to glorify God. And then I think, another brother to encourage my brothers and my sisters. That's awesome. I always think of those things. And then when it doesn't work out, I'm never discouraged for myself, because it really doesn't matter to me. If I got 3 brothers, 5 brothers, 10 brothers, 100 brothers, I'm fine. What discourages me is I get angry, sometimes righteously, about God's glory being stolen and people not loving other believers. And that really kind of gets to me sometimes, and I have to overcome that. And that never goes away, meaning I get rid of it, and then it's going to come back with another person someday. Then I got to get rid of it again, and that's going to come back. So those are the things we have to overcome that we can never get away from, because I think Brother Zello said it good one time. The only way you're never going to have problems with people relationships is never have any relationships. Just, you know, be a hermit, a monk, and don't be around anybody. So you're always going to have issues. And so, yeah, those things always keep coming. So some things we can put out of the way, and, you know, we can save up money so that we always have money for our needs, so you never have to be broke. But other things, you go, oh, this thing keeps coming back, and you have to keep overcoming it even while it's there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's something that you have to overcome within. You can't change, like you said, you can't change the outward circumstance. Or it's something that maybe somebody has, like health issues that don't go away.
Amen.
And you need to learn how to have the joy of the Lord as your strength and your portion, and learn to overcome and keep fighting in spite of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, good topic, adversity. And my last thought, well, first, I'll give a thought, but you guys got any other thoughts on this? Go ahead, Brother Cool. Go ahead, Brother Cool, first.
Oh, I was just going to say Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, but the fearful, what does fearful mean?
Timid. We just talked about it.
The faithless and timid, yeah. And unbelieving. So are you going to press in toward the mark of the high calling of God? Are you going to press through the adversity? Do you believe that God can give you the strength? Are you not afraid to press through adversity? Or are you going to back down when the adversity comes? It's kind of the faith, yeah.
Amen. Good point. Brother Zelos, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just previously saying I was going to look up a scripture, but I found it now. James 1, verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word temptations means putting to the proof. By implication, adversity. So we're actually to count it all joy when we fall into this adversity, knowing this, that this trying of our faith works patience. That word patience is hupanome. I get mixed up with that Greek word. That's the word endurance, cheerful or hopeful endurance. So all these adversities that we meet, that's why we shouldn't draw back. We should press in and through. And we're actually supposed to start learn to walk in the Spirit to when we count the joy and look at them as opportunities to grow because it works endurance in us.
Yeah.
And let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, which is fully mature and complete and entire, wanting nothing. Yeah. So it's kind of an encouragement in adversity.
Yeah, tried by fire.
Amen.
Tried by fire. And we talk about all the time, we get to do something that the angels don't even get to do. We get to suffer persecution for the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. And amen. One of my last thought was going to be, I see this a lot with people that say they want Christ, but they don't really, and they end up falling away or either don't even come. They don't want adversity. They hide from adversity. They seek to avoid adversity. They want no adversity at all costs. I just want to go along, get along. And that is such an unbiblical, unchristian, not God-honoring mindset, because I was thinking about this today. This might be a whole nother topic. I won't start it now. But did you ever notice that for the most part, you could probably think of something that might be alternate, but God always models for us, or I should say Christ, He is God. Christ modeled for us what we should be. And so He went through great adversity and tells us to go through adversity and trial. And so the people that don't want to go through great adversity, they don't want adversity, they don't want to be like Christ. They want ease. They want comfort. They want the king's dainties. They want to be a man pleaser. They want to get along. So I was thinking about that topic. That's another one we'll take up at another time, is how God modeled perfectly for us everything we should be as men and women of God by doing and showing us everything we should do. He's not somebody that said, do this, even though I never showed you how to do it, or I don't model that. It's like He modeled every single thing for us, showing us the way, the perfect, and Paul did it too, and so did Peter, and so did John, being like a die, a stamp, an example of us to follow after. I love that, because you can never look in the Bible and call Christ or these great men of God hypocrites by not doing what they tell us to do. Yeah, some of them fell into some sin and had to repent, but they didn't live in sin. They always modeled what we should be doing, and going through adversity, losing family, losing your career, losing your pride and vanity. Yeah, they always modeled that for us, didn't they?
Hey, amen. That's an awesome thought.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me think now, and I got some more scriptures to share. Sorry, you just brought up a bunch more than mine. Mark 4, the parable of the sower sowing the word, and then all the guys who heard it, and then the ones who fell on stony ground, but they had no root in themselves, and so they endured but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution, that would be adversity, ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended, and they fall away.
Yep.
People don't want that. Like you said, Jesus said, where I am, there must my servant be. The disciple is not above his master. He went to the stake and died a bitter death for us. We have to lose our lives for Him. So yeah, it's all over.
Yeah. Yeah, I've told you, brothers, those, I've got tons of stories of men that wanted to follow Christ, and actually for a couple months were Bible studying, and when they found out they had to leave their antichrist, heretical, religious mom and dad, you could hear the phone almost drop, and they said, I can't do that. I have an inheritance coming. See ya. And they were gone. And, or a man whose dad is a pastor, sitting there all excited about becoming a street preacher and following along and being united, and then saying, well, you can't be united to your dad. He's a worldly Pentecostal. It, literally, the guy just, this young man sat back in his seat and he said, oh, that would be impossible. I could never leave my family. Over. He didn't want the adversity. Done and gone. He'll never have Christ, will he?
Yeah, we have to suffer with Him if we want to reign with Him. By the way, that word suffer in Timothy means endure.
Amen. Endurance is all over the scriptures, isn't it?
Yeah, for some reason, King James at that point translated that word as suffer. But it's the same word as cheerful and hopeful constancy and endurance. We have to endure with Christ and overcome if we want to reign with Him.
Amen. Amen. And I do have one more thought. No, we're all street preachers. Notice when you go out and do actual ministry, not just clean gutters and invite people to church. That's not ministry. Or put on sporting events. That's called funistry, not ministry. When you actually go out and do biblical ministry, that's the reason that we're called, and train up people to go do ministry, do you notice that you have a lot more adversity?
Yes, I'd say.
Police to deal with, people going online mocking you, hating you, people threatening you or beating you up or whatever. Yeah, when you actually go and do what God's called us to do and obey Him, you start to understand what adversity really is. If you sit on your homestead or you sit in your apartment and you never preach the gospel and you never confront error and proclaim truth, you're often not going to have any adversity. And people look at us and go, well, what do you mean being a Christian is so hard? Well, I just go to church on Sunday and I go to work and I do my hobbies. Life is great. Yeah, because you're not serving God and you're not preaching the gospel.
And I just have two verses that kind of go along with what we're talking about. Romans 8:28-29. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that word image means a likeness or a representation, a resemblance of his Son. So we're being conformed into the image of his Son, the mind of Christ. If he is the whole truth, and he is the truth, the only truth, and we're being conformed to the truth, shouldn't our lives look like Jesus Christ? And if they don't, are we being conformed by the same Spirit? You got to ask yourself that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we're being conformed by our flesh, by maybe seductive, seducing spirits, and by the culture around us if we look like the world and man-made religion, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Good stuff, brothers. Anything else on adversity?
May we all overcome.
Amen. Overcome and endure to the end. Good job, brothers. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area. God be praised.